Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different stuff here today. Mostly football. Basically all football. As normally on Tuesdays, we wrap up the week with our top five, bottom three in the NFL. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Some other NFL topics I'm sure will come up in that discussion as well. College football, where are we headed in state-wise? Heading into November, talk about the national landscape, how it's looking, the playoff possibilities, I think 11 undefeated still. So how's that all going to shake out? Top 10 in college football, biggest games of the week, kind of discuss those as well. And then the football, high school football, the district races with three games left, 4A1, A1. I've written down everybody's schedule for the last three, where they're at record-wise, and kind of the scenarios that are possible there as we head to the last 3 weeks of the high school football schedule. And those playoff races will heat up in the not only for the district titles, but also for that coveted fourth spot that gets you in to the playoffs this season. Might even sprinkle in a little baseball as well as we move along. So that's kind of what we got planned. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all thing Paragon with three radio stations here in Elk City. You've got the Penny News available through the app. You can check it out online, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of the Penny News and the print edition at your favorite local newsstand. We've also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. Big Elk's Thursday down at Cash. Thursday night game for the Elks and Cash. Merritt, on the other hand, will be in be at Thomas on Friday. So be able to kind of hit a double dip there with the Elks on Thursday, Merritt on Friday on Paragon TV. We've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast online at KADSAM.com or through iTunes. If you find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe, and then you're alerted when a new podcast drops. It goes right to you. You don't have to go searching for it. That is the Skinny on Sports podcast. Hello, Jared. How are you this morning?
Real well. How are you?
I am just wonderful.
Just wonderful?
Just wonderful. Hey, do you know what happens tonight?
Tuesday night. No. What happens tonight?
The NBA season kicks off.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
Did you know that?
Well, I think I did, but that wasn't at the top of my list. No.
The Thunder start tomorrow.
They start tomorrow. We'll see a lot of the top teams play tonight, including the defending champs, and we'll see Russ in a Laker uniform. Yeah,
got us a fun.
Will
matchup.
I watch? I might. The Russ with the Lakers kind of intrigues me. Kind of has my interest. I might watch a little bit of that, but I think that's a 9:30 game. It's a West Coast game. I think it's really late.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So, yeah. I might be interested for about a quarter, if that. Listen, it is what it is. I mean, we know what we're going to get with the Thunder, and it's not very interesting to me. We'll keep an eye on it, obviously, but yeah, NBA.
Yeah, well,
listen, I think I'm speaking for most of our listeners. Whereas the NBA lately, and I'm not talking about the on-court stuff. It's really resonating.
Oh, I think
you see what I'm saying.
I think some of the off-court stuff helps out if the Thunder don't suck.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, it's easier to stomach some of that behavior if your team's good, but when you know your team isn't even trying to be good,
yeah,
then all that other stuff irritates you even more.
Right.
Speaking of off the court, did you see what happened in Washington State yesterday?
I did see that.
Yeah, Nick Rolovich and four assistant coaches were fired.
I think it's hilarious because it is – I mean, you were lucky enough to get Mike Leach to come onto your campus and coach for a few years. You'll never get anybody now.
Fired because Rolovich and four assistants would not comply with the statewide COVID vaccine mandate.
Yeah, this isn't over. I think there's going to be some lawsuits involved, you'd think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is far from over. Far from over. Wrongful termination just screams out of that one. But
that might be Rolovich U one of these days,
yeah,
instead of Washington State.
Yeah. No, but back to what I was saying was, who are you going to go get? Oh, wait, you're in the state of Washington? Nah, I'm good. What else are you going to mandate? What else are you going to fire me for?
Yeah,
what else are you going to try to control me with? Forget it. I think I will stay out of your state and go coach somewhere else.
Looks like defense coordinator.
Yeah, there's like four others, too.
Jake Dickert is going to be elevated to be the interim coach. Yeah, the four others that are along with Nick Rolovich, I just saw the names. Ricky Logo, John Richardson, Craig Stutzman, and Mark Weber. Also didn't comply with Governor Jay Inslee's proclamation. It's not even a law. It's just the rantings of one wild man that they did not comply with, and now you lose a $3 million a year job because you don't listen to what Jay Inslee has to say. Pretty sure Jay Inslee's not a physician. And even if he is, he's playing governor as we speak. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy world we live in. But yeah, that was kind of a headliner. Also, yesterday, in-state.
Just real quick before we move off that topic, what's their record?
Oh, gosh. They're not very good.
No, they're 4-3.
Well, that ain't bad.
They've won three in a row.
Speaking of firings.
So I thought, okay, we'll just use this as an excuse to get rid of our losing coach. Doesn't appear that way. They're 4-3. They've won three in a row with wins over Cal, Oregon State, and Stanford. Oh, by the way, that Stanford team that beat Oregon.
He had a contract that ran through 2025. Paid him $3 million a year. He applied for a religious exemption.
Oh, dear. See, here we go. That I'm telling you.
And was denied and now fired.
We're okay.
Doesn't seem as if that's going to work out for the state of Washington. But here's the deal. It's going to take years because you know good and well, just like Inslee, the rest of the folks up there in the court system or whatever are going to side with him, and they're just going to keep on being pressed until, you know, that's coming with all of this madness that's happened over the past 20 months now. The Supreme Court will be making rulings on a lot of this that's happened. From, you know, outside of just the health part of whatever the COVID has happened. It's a lot of these trampling on liberties and firing people for not listening to proclamations. Hey, what is this? 18th century England? Thought that's why we came over here. Not to listen to proclamations. Follow proclamations.
Right.
Anyhow. So that happened yesterday. Also, weren't able to touch on the other firing that's coming, Coach O, Gandhi, from LSU. He's going to finish the season, but he'll be out of a job. Some interesting things coming out of that. I guess he was married in the 2019 season, got a divorce afterwards, so he's kind of been, you know, bachelorly. How do you say
that?
He
got married in 19. 2019?
No. He got divorced in 19.
Oh, okay.
So he's been a bachelor down there since winning the national title.
Oh, okay.
Some stories coming out that he had some girlfriend or a girlfriend, and the kids were on the practice field, and they'd have to stop practice because they were interrupting. Also, another story that at a gas station, he was hitting on a pregnant lady that just turned out to be the wife of a regent.
Mm.
Ouch. Bachelor-ing is what I was trying to say. Probably should have just went with batching. I know 12
maybe,
people.
Maybe stick to Tinder there, Coach O.
Yeah. And keep them off the practice field,
yeah,
bruh.
Yeah.
I know 12 people that have moved here from the state of Washington right here to Elk City, Oklahoma.
Cool.
I bet you Nick Rolovich has a better chance of doing that now. Maybe he can be a...
he could roll on in here.
He could be like an assistant.
Come
on. One of those analysts for one of the in-state schools. Anyway, Coach O, that's a heck of a job that's going to be open now. So you see LSU and USC both open at the same time.
There's some really good discussion yesterday afternoon. You probably caught it too. Those two obviously are open. And then there's a possibility. I mean, it doesn't look any easier for Scott Frost and the rest of his season at Nebraska. I mean, if you're not beating Minnesota, then who else are you going to beat on your schedule?
Yeah.
So there's that hot seat's getting hotter. Miami doesn't look very good right now. There's another one in there.
Yeah, they added Florida. What the heck are they adding Florida for?
Apparently Dan Mullins has been on the hot, there's been after the loss. You know how it works in the SEC.
Yeah,
you
two
get
and
upset
three.
And suddenly you want out. Suddenly you want your coach out. But all those schools that I mentioned, they were talking about this yesterday. You have to sit there and look it up and get your calculator out. How many combined national titles? A ton, right?
Miami's won 5. LSU's won 3. That's 8. Nebraska's won, 3? 4? Nebraska's won 4 or 5. Maybe 5, actually. So 5, 10,
depending
13.
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah. I mean, like real ones.
Right.
Back in the 60s and then 3 in the 90s. Like 2 in the 60s, 3 in the 90s. Miami had 5. Did they get 5 or 6? 83, 87, 89,
let's
91.
5.
2001, so 5.
According to Google, it's 5.
Yeah. So 5 for Nebraska, 5 for Miami. What's Florida won? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Upwards, I mean, you're getting close to 20 when you add USC.
Florida's won
3, 96, and then the 2 in 2000s.
Claimed national titles 3.
Yeah.
96, 06, and 08. SC, let's see what they got.
I'm going to say that's 5 or
11.
6. 11. It ain't that many.
Claimed. Now we go.
What? How many?
In the World War II era?
APs have they won.
Now we're getting a hairy mess. But point is, you're going to have
a bunch.
Lot of schools potentially, a lot of named schools potentially opening up. 2 at least already.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Who's going to go where?
Well, and then what opens because of one of those jobs being filled by somebody
right.
that's currently coaching?
Right. I mean, could A&M open up?
Could
Ole Miss open up?
Doesn't it feel to me like that's the first place they're looking? LSU, that is.
Yeah.
Is straight to Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, money doesn't matter. They'll pay out the
make
nose.
Him say no.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting paid handsomely in A&M. It's you know
they'll buy him out and pay him more.
What is the better job? What is the better fit?
Right.
You know, if you're Jimbo, you know, you were down there with Saban in that title over OU. I run the offense. He's a Louisiana, you know, has those roots. But I don't man, as much as I like to make fun of A&M, boy, A&M seems a lot more stable than LSU, right? As far
stable,
as just
yeah.
the job.
But where could he I thought about it last night. If he went to LSU, I think he could win immediately. More so than what he's done at A&M. I really do. I think he could get the guys on campus.
Okay, and then win you a championship, get fired 2 years later. I mean, that's the problem with that, with what just happened.
But at what point does A&M start getting fed up because he hasn't produced them a national title in the next couple of years?
Yeah, but they're not the same as LSU from a stability standpoint. Listen, A&M has sucked so bad for so many years and been just mediocre. You don't think they're enjoying the heck out of what's happening right now? Even though they're not really in a chase for any sort of title, they beat Alabama. They're going to live off that for another 10 years.
They
have been since Johnny Manziel. They beat when Johnny Manziel beat them.
They're fine.
I mean, they're nothing like LSU in that regard. Because here's the problem with A&M. They stepped into that ACC after, you know, LSU fans think they're Bama. And they're not. But they think they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they're I mean, as delusional as A&M fans can be about where their pecking order is in college football, they're nowhere near the level of LSU, in my mind. We had a question to rank those jobs. I heard that discussion yesterday.
Yeah, rank the jobs.
Rank the jobs. USC, LSU, what were the other three? Nebraska, Florida, and Miami. How would you rank those jobs?
I got to write it down. I would go LSU.
SC. One?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you. LSU, USC. Who's that? Florida, Nebraska, Miami.
I go USC. I would put Florida ahead of LSU just because of the craziness. You're recruiting Florida. You're recruiting Alabama right there close. Now, you do have Florida State and Miami with you, but both of those are terrible. So I would put Florida ahead of LSU, but LSU is a monster. There's no doubt about that. And then Nebraska, Miami.
That's so funny.
But USC number one for me for sure.
On my text line, someone said just that LSU is a monster.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so funny.
It can be. Well, it can be, but that's both ways though. That's the problem with it, right?
Oh, it could be a monster for your opponent or a monster
for yourself.
You, for
yeah,
yourself.
And you get eight. Yeah. Just ask Coach O about that.
Yep. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, he was straight from the Bayou, and they ran him off.
Yeah,
I think he'll be okay though. They're paying him how much to go away?
$17 million.
He'll be fine.
Did you hear what he said?
No. I can't understand him.
Well,
no.
I read it. Well, listen,
did you
I read
read
it.
What he said?
I read what he said. It said something about now I can get a hamburger and maybe a double cheeseburger every now and then, too. Here's USC, LSU, Florida, Miami, Nebraska, agreeing with you. And I understand that. I just. Excuse me. I think with the way that went.
I think there's a bigger argument for the bottom two.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying?
Not me. Miami's clearly the last place for me. Just because of all those other schools have so many more built-in advantages with the infrastructure of the job. You know, Miami plays in a stadium that's nowhere close to their campus and all that stuff.
Okay.
Now, we've seen it be, you know, a 15-year juggernaut. There's no doubt about that. And it's that way with – you know, USC's a little bit the same way in that they're both in pro towns. But if the college team gets rolling, they'll support it. Now, Pete Carroll had the advantage at USC of not having a professional football franchise in LA at the time.
Or franchises.
Yeah,
now. Yeah,
right. And so he had the place, he had the entire town to himself. With the way that was happening, we'll see if that matters. But I mean, USC's proven through 70 years if they're good, people show up, and it's a great place to win at with multiple coaches. You know, Miami. The one thing about it, yes, they won titles with different coaches. You know, through that run with Schnellenberger, then Jimmy, then Dennis Erickson, then Butch Davis, or I guess it ended up being Larry Coker, but. To me, those three, it was all kind of the same run. Does that make sense? Like in the 80s, yeah, it was three different coaches, but it was really the same run for the most part. It just happened that they had a different coach.
Right.
Does that make sense,
yeah.
What I'm trying to say? So they're going to get credit for three different coaches. I don't really think they should, because anywhere else it would have been one doing that. You know, they wouldn't – but anyway – but I just
now my argument for
Miami's such a flash in the pan to me.
Okay, well my
versus real tradition at those other places.
Now I'm looking at between Nebraska and Miami. If I'm in say in a recruiting war, and I'm the coach of Miami, I go, come down to South Beach and be a star, and you're going to get paid. You go up to Lincoln, you be a star, you might make some money, but you're not going to get money like you are down here.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? That's where I think that's a little bit of a deciding factor.
And people want to go south.
It's going to change the recruiting landscape a little bit.
I mean, outside of Ohio State and maybe Notre Dame, nobody in the cold weather states is playing very good football. Everything's south.
Yeah.
Where it's warm and, yeah, for those reasons. Oh, I think that if you ask which one has the better chance of getting back to the top, I would agree it's Miami. Because I don't know if Nebraska can ever get there again.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as the job, historically the job, I would say that Nebraska's just a notch above Miami. But those two are clearly below the other three, right?
There's a definite drop-off after the top three jobs, yes.
So, you know, I just got Joe Brady. That's obviously a name that's going to be mentioned in that LSU job. You wonder But another coordinator from that 19 team, you know, Dave Aranda has done a really nice job at Baylor. Could he be a guy that is a possibility there if you don't get – I mean, I know the Joe Brady fascination, but I have a hard time believing Jimbo isn't number one on that list. I just do.
Right.
And then now whether or not he's realistic or not, I guess we'll find out. But to me, that's Jimbo Fisher's job if he wants it. And if he doesn't, then you start talking about Brady and maybe Aranda and some other head coaches around the country. That would be enticed to go down there.
I wonder if Lane Kiffin is ready to piss off another SEC fan base and leave him after a year.
Boy, howdy. Nah, he's been there too.
2 years, excuse me. Last year doesn't count.
He's been there too.
But you see, yeah. I'm surprised we haven't talked about that fiasco.
The Lane train.
I mean, that fiasco that happened Saturday night.
He got hit with a golf ball.
A range ball, of all things.
He kept it.
I would, too. I'd keep it and put a date on it and put it on a trophy case. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tennessee fans, he said that when he walked in there, he was like, oh, boy, they are ready to roll. Like, he could just feel the energy in that stadium. And Ole Miss whipped them. Got them done. You know, that was a wild finish. Stuff thrown on the – they actually got a – I saw yesterday Tennessee was actually fined $250,000.
Now, how would you handle that? How would you punish a university like that for that something like that happening?
I don't know.
I have opinions. I have options.
What are you going to do? Not let them host home games?
No. Now, I think all of this – now, listen, there's no way of preventing that from happening even if these measures are put in, these punishments. I don't think $250,000, whatever. They're just going to pass that off on beverage sales. But what?
I just got a text from our Ole Miss buddy. Lane is a D-bag, but he's our D-bag.
This is what I do. Two options, and just go with me on this. One, maybe don't put fans, as a punishment, don't put fans like the first, I don't know, 20 rows. Make it harder to throw trash onto the field and objects. Now, I'm sure that golf ball came from the upper deck, but you see what I'm saying? Or two, just don't allow a certain amount of students in or no students at all. I think both those measures would have the fans self-police it. Go, you know, listen, last time we threw trash on the field, they took away our seats. And that also hurts the school and ticket sales if you take away those rows like I was talking about.
Yeah, except for they're already sold.
Yeah, that's true, too.
A bunch of them. Yeah, I mean, those are monetarily wide.
Those are
our
season seats, yeah. But – you know, that's how I, you know, again, I think the fine is a slap on the wrist and, you know, a stern letter, okay.
It's more up to the school to figure out who did it, to me.
Well, they did say they are going to
review the tape and find out who you are.
Review every camera angle and everything and, you know, go and get them. But I would say, you know, punish them all and then.
I mean, the conference is done punishing.
Yeah.
Now it's up to Tennessee, the university, to punish those people individually for throwing stuff on. Or, you know what, they may not. They may go, it was Lane. He deserved it.
That's kind of when I saw it, I was kind of thinking.
We'll make it some sort of statement.
Well, it is Lane Kiffin.
Well, you knew something was coming. I mean, the vitriol, if you haven't, OutKick had a great article about the way that went down. All those years ago when Kiffin, after 1 year, left Tennessee and went to USC.
I read some of it.
You know what was crazy? The hotel that they stayed at, the Ole Miss, he was in the same suite that he was when he was going to accept that job.
You think that was planned?
100%.
Yeah.
Or whoever did it didn't know. A total coincidence? I think not. All right, since we hit the college football here to start, what's your top 10?
My top 10, I bring up my notes because I have to write down everything. It is, I'll go number one, Georgia. It's obvious. Number two, listen,
You're going to say OU.
I'm going to go against the grain a lot of things, but I think it's OU. And then I think Alabama's number three. If I'm putting Alabama versus Cincinnati or OU versus Cincinnati, I'm giving those two the edge.
Okay, so why not do you think – this is a question I've had after we've done this. So why not put Alabama ahead of OU if you think Alabama can beat OU?
I see what you're saying. I'm, I, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I have an answer for it.
What's that?
Well, then why do we ever even make Alabama play? If everybody just thinks they're the best team, yeah, just let them be in the finals and we'll see who gets there against them.
Right.
They still have to win the games they play. There has to be some sort of punishment to them for losing a game. Made up rankings is how we're going to do it on this show.
Did anybody like, they lost to A&M, but as soon as that clock went 0-0 and the football went through the uprights, everyone had it in the back of their mind. Well, Alabama's just going to roar through the rest of their schedule.
100%.
And they're going to get back to the playoffs and probably play for another national title. Right? Yeah. Number five, I have Ohio State followed right there by Michigan. I really hope those two hold up and give us a good game. When is that?
Last week. It's a ways away.
Okay. Where am I at? Six,
that
seven.
That was six.
Ole Miss.
Whoa.
I'm a little bit more sold on them.
My goodness. Okay.
Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State.
We have the same teams, just different order. Georgia, OU, Bama, Cincinnati. I had Michigan ahead of Ohio State. Michigan 5, Ohio State 6. I had OSU 7, Michigan State 8, Penn State 9, and Ole Miss 10. What do you think? Let's talk just a little bit about what's coming. So this week is pretty weak.
It's a dud.
OSU at Iowa State.
That's
a good
game.
One.
I'm going to sit down with my pot.
Oregon. Yeah. Oregon at UCLA.
You know, UCLA is a favorite.
Yes.
Did you watch any of Oregon against? Help me. Who they play Friday night?
No, I did not. It was close.
It was close. They won by a touchdown.
I do remember it being close.
Was it Cal?
Maybe so. It may have been the Cal Bears.
Yeah.
California, it was.
But they're dealing with 24-17
I mean, against Cal.
Oregon's dealing with a lot of injuries.
Yeah, Verdell, the running back, is out. He's gone for the year. Yep. But the reason I highlight that game is this is the last-ditch effort of the Pac-12 to be able to try to claim a playoff spot. Arizona State was kind of in the mix. They lost. So now it's – you know, Oregon flying the Pac-12 flag, and the only Pac-12 flag that's flying is Oregon.
That's a pretty tattered flag right now.
Yeah, it is. And UCLA, after that great start, they've dropped a couple, but could absolutely see the Bruins.
It is at the Rose Bowl.
Finishing off
it
the Pac-12.
It'd be a morning game for them, or noon, 12:30 game. But that shocked me that they're the favorite. It shocks me that Iowa State's the favorite. That opened up as a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, the amount is surprising.
Well, I say that. I
the amount is surprising. The fact that they're a
home favorite
isn't that
yeah,
surprising.
Yeah, but over a top 10 team, it is still Iowa State. Here's the deal. Iowa State reminds me of OU of last year, losing two early games, mm-hmm. and then they're going to roll.
100% agree.
Yeah.
When you think about the Big 12 title race, to me, down to four kind of, Baylor, Iowa State, OSU, and OU.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
When you look at the schedules, you know, everybody's kind of got the one except Baylor, but they've already lost to Oklahoma State. Like, you know, because these teams haven't played each other yet outside of Baylor playing Iowa State and OSU, and they split, right? But then they get Texas at home, they get OU at home, go to TCU, go to K-State, and then Tech to finish. Iowa State gets Oklahoma State and Texas at home, go to West Virginia, Tech, and OU, and then finish with TCU. OSU's the one, if they can win this one,
yeah,
then that schedule looks pretty,
pretty, pretty,
pretty doable.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Kansas at home, the one trip up maybe at West Virginia.
Never a picnic. And that'll
right.
be a night game, I guarantee you.
Probably so. And then TCU at home at Tech, and then, of course, Bedlam at the end. But if you can win this one and not get upset at Morgantown, then all of a sudden there's a very good chance OSU's undefeated for Bedlam. OU, you know, at Baylor, Iowa State, and at OSU to finish after having at Kansas this week. Tech comes to Norman next week. So, you know, I think the last three in a row for OU are tougher than anybody else, because you're playing all three of the other teams that are actually in the running to be in the Big 12 title game.
Hasn't it been like that
two
for
on
OU
the, road.
The last few years? It just seems like the last three games are tough games, like West Virginia and, of course, OSU. Who else would be thrown in there? Iowa State. There's always those. It's like in November,
mm-hmm.
late August or October into November. There's a run there.
How
every team has them, though. Every team has that run, right? You know, somewhere in their schedule, you look at it and go, well, those are the three right there. Those are the games you got to take care of. Those are going to be the tough ones.
Those are coming. It's coming in the Big Ten as well next week.
Yeah.
Is when it starts.
It's really backloaded in the Big Ten.
Next week on Friday. Is this a Friday night game?
They have those annual once a Friday. Every
10:29. Is that Friday?
That is Friday. Because
Michigan and Michigan State are playing on Friday?
Yep.
Holy crap. So you got Michigan.
We're
at Clinton, I can tell you. Michigan, Michigan State is next Friday. There's also Penn State at Ohio State, I believe. Or is it the other way around? Yeah, Penn State at Ohio State next week. So that's, you know, those four powers in the Big Ten East all playing each other to start next week. So you'll start, you know, the separation will begin with one of those two teams not being undefeated anymore with the Michigan schools. And then also either Penn State or Ohio State will get a second loss hung on them. And so they'll kind of move away from the playoff picture as well. Very interesting.
It is.
I can't believe they're playing on a Friday night. Wow.
I bet you they scheduled that thinking, these teams have a few losses.
Man.
Not so much.
Greatest Friday night game in the history of college football outside of, like, you know, playoffs or
regular season
or
game.
Or like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
You know.
There's always a Thanksgiving
game. Those always kind of happen the day after Thanksgiving.
Used to be those Texas and Texas A&M games are pretty good.
Right. Man, that's crazy.
Those were on Friday, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, this week, though, is a dud. Outside of OSU, Iowa State.
Yeah, and Oregon, UCLA. It's got to give that one in there.
Yeah, we'll see.
College
there
football.
There are a lot of teams you wouldn't think are favorites that are favorites and are pick 'em. Kind of makes it harder to pick.
Yeah, it kind of does. By the way, you mentioned the contest, the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest. Some interesting choices to make this week. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Go visit them for any and all of your real estate needs. Yeah, it looks like there's some there's a couple of home dogs.
You see what I'm seeing?
But a couple of not home dogs.
Like, let's go through this. Obviously, home dogs. Like, well, the LSU, or I'm sorry, Iowa State being favored over number 8 Oklahoma State. I get it. It's at Ames. I get that. How about a big spread here? I like how Navy can control the ball, can hold the ball. They're 27.5-point dogs to Cincinnati.
I'd like for that to be 28.5.
You can see it. I'd
like
just
for that to be 28.5.
Being shy of that. We mentioned UCLA, a favorite over Oregon.
How about this next one? First time in 7 years that Clemson will be an underdog in an ACC game.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
First time in 7 years.
Pitt, 3.5.
Pitt can score, Clemson can't.
Pretty much.
It's the way the season's been so far.
Is that where game day is at?
Oh, my gosh. Is the week that bad?
Is it at,
that's
is
where
it
it's at?
Is it at Pitt?
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
How about a 6-0 San Diego State underdogs at Air Force?
Well, nobody just walks into Colorado Springs and wins. I don't know if they do or not. They probably do.
I figured this spread.
No. They're headed. Game day's at UCLA.
Oh, is that where it's at? Okay.
Yeah.
I figured Notre Dame would be a bigger favorite over SC than they are, 6.5 points.
Yeah, nobody trusts that Notre Dame offense.
Not really.
Right now.
Not really. Anyways.
Interesting week in the old Western Oklahoma Realty College pick 'em. I need a 10-0. That's what I need.
Yeah. But you know what's going to happen.
0-10. Thanks, Jared. It's not very kind.
I was going to say you're going to be 9-0 and going into your last game, and a field goal is going to change it up.
I'll take 9-1. I'll take it. Hey, high school football district races heating up with 3 games left all across the state of Oklahoma. 4A1. Looks like we're on a collision course for week 10 between Clinton and Bethany, both 4-0 now. The Elks could definitely throw a wrench into those plans at 3-1 with a trip to Clinton next week. We've also got Elgin and Chickasha, both 2-2. Newcastle and Chickasha, both 2-2. Those two teams will play week 9. So that'll kind of – that may –
Shooting
be able
things
to,
out there for yeah, the fourth spot, maybe.
Well, yeah, let's hope, if you're an Elk City fan. And then Elgin, I wrote them down, too, because theoretically they could win the last three and get to 4-3. It's going to take 4-3 in 4A1 to make the playoffs. You're going to have a winning record. So Cash, Weatherford, not possible since they're 0-4 and they just have three games left. 3-4 ain't getting it done. You're going to have to be 4-3, I think, in order to make the playoffs. And so, like I said, Chickasha, Newcastle, that'll kind of shake itself out. And then also, Elgin plays both of those teams. So,
yeah,
you know, they could, you know, win those games against those two teams and shoot themselves, rocket themselves right up the standings toward that fourth spot. Barring an upset of those last two, and quite frankly, I don't see it coming. I think week 10, Tornado Bowl, that's going to be the decider for the district title between Clinton and Bethany.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Elk City is still very much a factor into this. And who knows what could happen this, Friday between Clinton and Weatherford. It's a rivalry game, you never know.
I know it's going to happen.
Listen, I'm trying to be.
I know it's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Clinton's going to beat him down.
Okay.
This is not a strong Weatherford team. It's just the truth.
You just can't talk bad about
Weatherford. And they're in between classes, and we'll be sitting here 2 or 3 years from now with what we saw from that freshman group, and it may be the other way around. But for right now, Weatherford's just behind everybody else, and that's just the way it is. There's a reason why they're 0-4 in the district, and it's just this isn't anywhere close to one of Coach Roof's best teams. It's just not, and, you know, they'll get better after this year, but this is clearly just a down year for Weatherford, and no offense to them, they're not going to make it right by beating Clinton because it ain't happening. Move on.
Okay, so Clinton Elk, any chance there for Elk City?
I mean, there always is. Elk City's played well enough. I think the strength helps as far as they've been really good at stopping the run, and they've been really good running the football, and if you can do those things, you always kind of have a chance, but, I mean, Clinton's clearly the favorite in that game at Clinton. Elk City hasn't won there since 1998. I mean, it would be a pretty big upset in my mind if Elk City was able to go to Clinton with everything on the line and win that game. Not impossible,
just
but not likely.
Ask.
Yeah.
We've seen things go the right way with Elk City, and all of a sudden they're scoring 60 points.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm not saying they could score 60 points against Clinton, I think Elk City's defense, I think the game – listen, we're getting way ahead of ourselves because we still got a game Thursday night we need to talk about. But I think that game could be a defensive fun game. Both teams played really good defense.
Oh, I think it's got to be if you're a fan of the brown and white, it's got to be a game like that if you want to win.
If you want a chance, that's all I'm saying. I think that the
first one to 20 wins if somebody gets there type of game.
Yeah, could be like that. But Clinton's so explosive. Like, you could look down and they're up 7-0. You look away for 10 minutes, you come back and they're up 28-0. They just so explosive this last few games. But I think it sets up well, and it all really, and you said it yesterday, and it makes a lot of sense. Elk City, if they can get a win on Thursday, that is for a playoff spot.
It's not guaranteed, but it's really close.
It makes it a lot easier. And now,
I mean,
we can start talking about where we would like to play and on, you know, for round one of the playoffs and try to get a good positioning. And, you know, really hoping Newcastle would take care of business against Bethany. And then, you know, maybe an outside shot of Elk City getting up to that two spot. And then you never know. But
yeah, Chickasha's got a chance for that. You know, one thing about if Chickasha were to beat Bethany, then that puts them squarely in that race for the fourth spot as well. Chickasha's got a pretty, they got Bethany and then at Newcastle, finish with Elgin. Newcastle's got at Elgin, then Chickasha, then finish here. The Elks go to Cache, go to Clinton, finish with Newcastle at home. Bethany goes to Chickasha, then they've got Weatherford at home, and then they finish at Clinton. And then Clinton's got at Weatherford, and then finish with the Elks and Bethany back-to-back at home to finish out the schedule. You know, to me, there's a few still. I mean, if the Elks win on Thursday night, go to 4-1, that makes you breathe easier. But there are scenarios where if you would lose to Clinton and Newcastle, then you're 4-3, and there's a chance of a three-way tie with a couple of teams. The good news, though, would be you've beat, you know, Chickasha and Elgin. But if it's three-way, then the points, you know, unless one team beat the others, then that gets into those points, and then it's hard to not get in the weeds when we're talking about that because we don't know the results of the games. But a win Thursday night puts you in a really, really, really good spot to be able to make it in the playoffs. And then, like you said, now from there, you know, then if you're able to go to Clinton and win, that opens up a lot different possibilities than what it looks like right now. I mean, right now, if you're thinking, okay, the Clinton game isn't going to go Elk City's way, you're either going to Tuttle or probably Cushing, maybe Blanchard, depending on how some of those games shake out. But if you can figure out a way to win in Clinton, then who knows? Maybe you're not going anywhere for the first week. And if things shake out just right, maybe you're not going anywhere for the first 2 weeks. You know, there's still that scenario to where, you know, a win there, and, you know, if Bethany gets knocked off and then Clinton beats them and all of a sudden it's a tie between Elk City and Clinton at the top of the district, well, hey, you know what? That win gets you the title. So there's a lot of things still up in the air. But like you said, we're getting ahead of ourselves because it has to start with the win Thursday night down at Cache. In A1, man, it's the district title race will be decided in these next 3 weeks because Fairview, Hooker, and Moreland, all 4-0, and nobody's played each other yet.
Yeah.
So we're going to get all of those games right here at the end. And here's the deal. Nobody's got both teams at home.
Really?
So Fairview goes to Moreland but hosts Hooker. Hooker hosts Moreland but goes to Fairview. And then Moreland hosts Fairview but goes to Hooker. You know, they all – nobody has them both at home. So that'll shake itself out. And that – I don't know where you go. But if it's, you know, the top two teams get a home game, that third team, I don't know where they have to travel, but I bet it's a long way. Just for who's in the race, especially if it's Hooker or Moreland. You don't figure there's a very close first-round game. So the advantage in the top two there is huge travel-wise. And then there's four teams fighting for one spot at the bottom. Merritt's 1-3, Burns Flat's 1-3, Texoma's 1-3, Thomas is 1-3. Merritt's win came against Sayre. Burns Flats win came against Texoma. Let's see, Texoma beat Merritt, and then Thomas beat Sayre. Now the good news for Thomas is they're done with the top three. They are the only school. Nope, Burns Flats done with the top three as well. Texoma still has Hooker. So if either Thomas or Burns Flat could run the table and they play each other, you would kind of think, okay, that's 4-3. Is anybody else going to be able to get there? Because that means either Texoma or Merritt would have to beat one of the big guys, which would change the district title race as well in A1. So pretty interesting. And what's cool about this district is at the top, they're all going to play each other. And in the fight for fourth, they're all going to play at least one of the other teams, if not two. When you look at Merritt having Thomas and Burns Flat. Burns Flat having Thomas and Merritt. You know, Hooker's got Thomas only. But then Texoma's got Thomas only, but they had to play Hooker too. You know, and then Thomas has Merritt, Burns Flat, and Texoma. They've got them all. All the other teams fighting for that fourth spot. So it's going to be really interesting when we kind of check out those scores the next couple of weeks, not only in 4A1, but especially down in A1, we'll be getting an idea of where that thing's shaking out for a district title and in that fourth spot as well.
You mentioned Thomas. We always like to look at this. Can you tell me the last time they did not make the playoffs?
Oh, my gosh. Years ago, I'm going to guess. Just a shot in the dark. 1981, I don't have any idea.
It was actually 09.
Oh, really?
It's been 12 years.
Oh, yeah, I guess it was way longer than that.
They went 4-6 that year, 2-6 in the district. At that time, they were in A2.
Yeah, I was going to obviously guess way.
You would think, right?
Way
you would
longer
think
than
they
that.
Got, I mean, they are, you say Custer County, and you immediately go Clinton and Weatherford and football success, but Thomas, they had just as much success as those two big dogs. So them missing the playoffs would be something.
No doubt about it.
Doesn't happen a lot.
Doesn't happen a lot, and that's why, you know, even though they started out so disappointing, I think, for them, I would kind of favor them just because they know how to win.
Well, then you mentioned the schedule that they have left.
Mm-hmm.
You think that, you know, Coach Ward could.
Hey, listen, Meredith Thomas will tell us a lot about where that's headed.
Yeah.
Because if it's a, you know, if it's an Oiler win, then that essentially doesn't eliminate Thomas, but it gets close. And then, of course, Burns Flat's right there, you know, playing Thomas and Meredith. It's going to be really interesting, and there's going to be some – may have to have our abacus out to try to figure out the points and where everybody's standing that last week. Looking at the Oklahomans' top 10 games, there are a few of interest to what we're talking about. Blanchard at Cushing, that will tell probably tell the tale of who will finish second in 4A2. Cushing's already got a loss to Tuttle. Blanchard's 4-0 in the district. So if that and Blanchard still has Tuttle on the schedule, so Blanchard wins, then that sets up a district title game week 10 between Blanchard and Tuttle. Cushing would be third, right? So then that means third place from a 4A1 would be headed to Blanchard or Tuttle, depending on who loses that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one there to kind of start ironing that out. And then of course, game we just mentioned, Fairview at Moreland, is the number 7 game in the state. So the first battle of unbeatens in A1 will start up in Moreland this week with Fairview there. And I bet we're going to see A1 games in this top 10 the next 3 weeks.
Because of what
depending on
mean.
Results and what they're going to mean. And
right.
And we may see a 4A1 game in this top 10 next week as well.
Very well could.
NFL last night, my gosh. Now listen, I understand and I agree with the sentiment about paying running backs and all that stuff. I think it's good business. I think it works. I think you can find guys that are suitable. But you know what you can't find? That guy.
Yeah.
That guy is Derrick Henry. Holy Moses. What is he, the fourth highest paid running back in the league, I believe? And he's clearly the best one in the league. And I want to publicly thank him for erasing a 17.5-point fantasy deficit all by himself and having my team cruise to 4-2. Thank you, Derrick Henry. 3 touchdowns again. What do you have, 143, 20 carries, 143, and 3 touchdowns? It's a pretty good day. Josh Allen, you sent that funny meme of somebody falling down on that fourth down play. I can't believe. You know, we talk about go for the win on the road, tie at home. Buffalo was on the road, tried to, you know, win the game and not have to go to overtime. And there's, you know, you're putting the ball in the hands of your best player, letting him try to win the game, and he just didn't. I don't necessarily have a problem with that if you're Buffalo. You know, you take Josh Allen in that situation 10 times out of 10 and see if he makes it.
Right.
And you know, try to win the game from there. So, but a good win for Tennessee to get to 4-2. Buffalo now 4-2. Not as important a loss for Buffalo just because of how bad their division is. You know, they can absorb a loss or two and still be fine in the division. The problem is, though, outside of that, with only one bye this year, they fall a game behind Baltimore in the race for that one seed, the home field advantage, and the bye with the 7 playoff teams this year. So, good win for Tennessee. They're right in the thick of it, and they kind of needed it because Indianapolis looks to be playing better. Wentz looks healthy. They've kind of cranked it up. Now, they played some bad teams, Houston being the one this week. But Indianapolis does look a little bit more formidable than they did a couple of weeks ago in that AFC South. So important win there for the Titans. What else did what else struck you as far as Sunday and what happened around the NFL?
Well, we mentioned Dallas. You know, them winning that game. We've seen it so many times in the past. Them lose that game. That could be a turning point for the season. It comes at the perfect time with the bye week, and they could really hit the ground running. And that was clear. I think the Browns are a fraud, and I think the Cards are for real. I think Cardinals are the real deal. I do.
I'm not ready to call the Browns a fraud yet because they got so many guys hurt. Now, so does Baltimore, and Baltimore's rolling. But you know what? Baltimore beat the Chargers, but before that they had Colts, they had Broncos, they had Lions. The Chiefs, who aren't as good as anybody thought they were going to be. So, you know, the schedule's been kinder, I think, to Baltimore here in the early going with the losses that they've sustained than it has been to Cleveland, especially the last 2 weeks with the Chargers and the Cardinals. But, you know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen to Baker Mayfield. His separated shoulder, sprained AC. I mean, the guy probably needs surgery. Will he have it? Doesn't look like he wants to when you hear what he has to say. So we'll see. We'll see how that organization handles that and maybe even get a glimpse into what they're thinking long term. If they just let him go out there and play and try to tough through it and not worry about the repercussions down the way, then maybe that kind of a sign that they're not overly committed to him. If, you know, they make him get it fixed and see when he can come back after that, then maybe that's a good sign for his long term stability there in Cleveland. I think it's hilarious how much flack he catches. You know what nobody said yesterday? Nobody buried Justin Herbert. He had a horrible game against Baltimore.
That's true.
Nobody buried him. And, oh, by the way, Justin Herbert hasn't done what Baker Mayfield's done in this league. He hadn't even made the playoffs, much less win a playoff game on the road against your arch rival in Pittsburgh. Justin Herbert hadn't done that. He played horrific against Baltimore. But nobody says a word. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. You're polarizing. That's what you get.
That's the Baker Mayfield effect.
Yep. All right, do your hurry, top five.
Hurry, top five. I said the Cards are real. They're undefeated. I'm ready to put them there. They're number one. Defending champs, the Buccaneers at number two. I got Cowboys number three. Bills slipped behind them at number four, and the Rams at five.
I got Dallas one.
Whoa.
Arizona two, Rams three, Tampa four, Baltimore five. Bottom three.
In no particular order, Lions, because they haven't won a game. And let's face it, that game in London was between two bad teams, Dolphins and Jags.
I've got Lions, Giants, and Jets.
I'm not ready to put the Giants there because they're so beat up, too.
They are beat up, but, boy, they're awful.
They are bad. They were bad before they were beat up.
Yeah.
But at least they have an excuse.
Yeah, they have an excuse to stay out of the bottom three for you this week. Not for me. Giants suck.
Spoken like a true Cowboys fan.
Yeah, right? What a great time to have a good team in the NFC East, by the way.
Exactly.
It's already a three-game lead.
Exactly.
Not doing anything the first, second week of January, probably go watch a Cowboys game. They're going to be there. Maybe not, though. They get the bye. We'll see you.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.